If you'd open your Bibles to James chapter 1 and follow as I read. I'm honestly feeling a little tension reading a scripture verse and then not preaching from it entirely, because the way I was trained and taught, that's what you do, expository preaching. You read the passage and then preach through it. But this is more of a topical message, so even though this applies, we won't be spending our whole time in James. But in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, and we're going to be studying, just considering God's challenge to us to listen to Him. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Let's bow. Father, we do thank you for who you are, for all that you've done, especially in providing your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior and Lord. Thank you for giving us such a beautiful and amazing world in which to live, and taste buds to taste the different foods you've created, and eyes to see the different colors you've created. Thank you for giving us ears to hear birds and wind, water, music, and each other, the voices of loved ones. But Lord, the greatest gift of hearing of all is the gift to hear you. And it is indeed a gift, for without your opening our ears, we would never hear you. So Lord, open our ears and make us even more acute listeners to you, whether it's through preaching, through song, through our personal Bible reading. Help us to be listeners and doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One issue that I'm going to make an educated guess every family deals with to one degree or another is the problem of one family member listening to what another family member is saying without hearing what that family member is saying. Parents ask their children, sometimes with exasperation, "Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I told you?" Children become exasperated when they talk to their parents, who just grunt and groan and back because they're so busy on the internet or watching a game on TV, or I guess people don't read the paper anymore, but whatever it is that distracts our attention. Wives get exasperated when their husbands tune out and hear without hearing because they're watching a game on the tube or on the internet or playing games on TV, the laptop, or the telephone. Not the telephone, the cell phone. I mean, the games are everywhere now. Many of us know the frustration of talking to someone who can't stop multitasking long enough to look you in the eye and let you know, "I'm listening to you. I hear what you're saying." We all know what it feels to talk to someone who's listening without hearing us. And at one time or another, all of us have been guilty, whether we know it or not, of listening to someone else as they speak without really hearing what they're saying. And if you can remember what it feels like to be speaking to someone and know that they're not listening, it feels frustrating. Sometimes we feel disrespected, hurt, even angry. If you can remember those feelings of anger, disrespect, frustration, that's probably just a very small taste, a glimpse of what God must feel when He speaks. And we listen, but we're not hearing. Is that really possible? Can a human being really listen to God and not hear what He's saying? Absolutely. You know, in Psalm 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse declares the work of His hands." There's no audible speech, but there's powerful declaration speech. And so that's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Because just look at the heavens and they speak. There's a creator. And amazingly, there are scientists who study the heavens and can't see, can't hear what it's saying, that there is a creator behind them. Listen to what God says through the psalmist in Psalm 81. "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." This is God speaking to His people. This is God speaking to His people who are sitting in church or synagogue or wherever they were in the temple. They're hearing, but they're not, or they're listening, but they're not hearing. God is saying to His own people, "Oh, that you would listen to me." Israel has heard God speak, but they have not listened, as evidence of the fact that they aren't responding. They aren't obeying the voice of the Lord. Look with me at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 30. This is amazing. This looks like it was maybe ripped out of a denominational newsletter, you know, just from yesterday, because it's just exactly kind of stuff that goes on today. Remember, Ezekiel was part of the captivity of Israel, carried away captives to Babylon, and there in Babylon, Ezekiel is one of the few priests, prophets, a preacher who's declaring the word of the Lord to the people. So they're, even though they're in captivity, they're not hearing the word of the Lord. Ezekiel is preaching to them day after day after day. And listen, Ezekiel 33:30, God says to Ezekiel, "But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying..." Now, listen, he's saying your people are talking about you in the doorway, by the walls, you know, whispering. So speaking about the preacher after church and over lunch isn't anything new. You know, it's been going on at least since Ezekiel's day. And apparently they're saying something somewhat positive about him, because it says they're speaking to one another, each to his brother, saying, "Come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord." They're saying, "This guy's a great preacher. You've got to come and listen to him. You've got to come and hear this guy preach. He's just really, really great." Verse 31, "They come to you as a people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful thoughts or desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song, as by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on the instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them." He says, "Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays the instrument well." In other words, he's a captivating preacher. He must have a booming voice. He's got a commanding presence. He uses illustrations that give illumination He gives illustrations that give illumination and inspiration, and he probably was good at alliteration too. I'm not so good. I have to practice on that. But the whole package was inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This guy is proclaiming the word of the Lord, and the people are coming to hear him. And you know why? It says, "Come, let us come," because this guy is like singing a sensual song by someone who has a great voice and he plays a mean guitar. I mean, does he use the word guitar? Instrument. They're coming to listen to him as if he's an entertainer. It's the day's entertainment. it's too flippant for them. They're not listening to the word of the Lord. Jesus said, bringing it a little closer to our own times, Jesus said, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Those that absolutely cannot, will not, do not hear or understand the word of God, it's because they don't belong to him. And that can be rectified by coming to Christ. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But then, speaking of people that are involved in church, even later, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." Here are people who have been going to church, they're listening to preachers faithfully proclaim the word of the Lord, and they're listening to it, but they're not hearing it. And they become so good at tuning out, at sitting there, maybe upright, maybe just thinking of what's for lunch or whatever else. They're so good at tuning out the preacher and not listening to the word of God that now they don't even want to hear it at all. They want to find someone who's not going to preach the word of God. They want someone to come and tell them, some snake oil salesman is going to tell them something that sounds spiritual, talks about God generically, talks about blessings and fluff and faith. And if you don't have enough faith, have faith, believe and believe and have faith, and everything's going to come your way. They'll tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And there's a proliferation of that in our world today. Even when it is God who is speaking. You know, if someone with a great name and fame comes to town and is going to speak, people will line up and camp overnight to hear them. When it's God speaking, there should be standing room only in every church. Not because I'm a great preacher, but every church that makes an attempt to proclaim the word of the Lord, there should be standing room only, because it's God who's speaking, and people should want to hear what the Lord says. And yet, even when it's God who is speaking, people are so inclined to listen without hearing that God appeals to us with tears. You can almost see the tears on the pages of Scripture as he appeals to us. Listen. Would you please listen? And he's speaking to those that are not believers. He's speaking to those that are in the church and think they're believers but not. But he's also speaking to all of us. We all can be better listeners. God says, "Hear my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." There's a verse that many of us remember as children singing it as a song, so much so that when you read it, reading through the Bible, we tend to skip over it because it's for children. But listen. Listen again for the first time. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." He's not just talking about literal winds and waves. But when we listen and hear what God is saying to us through sermons, through songs, as we read the scripture. And by the way, if we're going to listen, we need to be in church and we need to be reading the Bible on our own. When we listen, God says, Jesus says, it's like you're sinking your foundation deep down to the rock. And when the storms of life come, and they will, even for believers, it will be tough The wind will blow, the rain will slam against floods, and the waves will slam against the house of your life, but you will stand if you're listening and obeying to the word of the Lord. You know, in the book of Revelation, 7 times Jesus said, "Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Quite frankly, I was amazed myself as I keyed in "hear" and "listen" to Bible search software, and instantly, you know, you come up with unbelievable how many verses in Scripture speak about listening and hearing to the Lord. Maybe one of the most important for us. Remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? And God the Father spoke through the cloud of glory and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Listen to Jesus. And of course, it isn't just the words that are read, if you have a red letter version, that are the words of Jesus. It's the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all the words of Jesus. Listen to him. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 8, verses 16-18. There's something interesting here. You'll have to tell me afterwards if you've ever noticed this. I'd never noticed this before. Let me just read those 3 verses and I'll show you what's so interesting. Luke 8, verse 16. "Now no one," after, and Jesus is speaking, if you don't have red letters there, Jesus is speaking, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed. He puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light." In other words, you put the light up high so it shines through all the room, everybody can see. "For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. So take care how you listen, for whoever has to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." He starts out talking about, we're the light of the Lord. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." That's what he's saying. Let the light of Christ shine, that is in you, shine through you, that you could be a light for others to see by, that people can see the reality of Christ in you. And then he says, "For nothing that is hidden will be, there's nothing hidden that will not become evident, nothing that is secret that will not be known or come to the light." Now there's, you know, everything's going to be made visible by the light of God eventually. Let your light shine. And then all of a sudden he switches, you know, like, I don't want to say bait and switch, that's not good, but Jesus switches metaphors. All of, we're talking about light and light illuminating, and let the light of Christ shine with from you. And then in verse 18 says, "So take care how you set your lamp in the room." No, take care how you listen. Where in the world did that come from? How do you get from light to listen? I think the key is verse 17, "Nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to the light." He's speaking to his disciples. For those who believe, the light of Christ is in us. Let it shine. But you know, and I think verse 17, "There's nothing hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret not be made known or come to the light." Let that light shine in you as well. Ask the Lord to show you what other things need to be confessed, what other things need to be cleansed, what other things need to be forsaken, what other things need to be done, what other things need to be to happen in my life to help me draw closer to the Lord. We all have those things from time to time. "I don't want to give this up. I don't want to let go of that. This is a secret little, I just can't let go of that." Jesus said it's all going to be exposed by the light eventually in judgment, so let my light shine there now. How do you do that? How do you let his light shine inside so that you become more like him now? Verse 18, "Take care how you listen." You see it? Listening is allowing the light of the word to shine within you. He didn't switch, really. It's just that listening is so important. It's how we allow God's light to shine within us so that we become brighter and brighter lights for his glory. So listen to His Word as you read it. Listen to God through His Word as it is preached and taught. Listen with hearing so that you do what it says and become a brighter and brighter light for the Lord. And Jesus says, if we don't, even what we think we have will be taken away. You know, you can become an accomplished musician or accomplished in a foreign language, but if you don't use it, you lose it. I know. I used to play trombone in a Dixieland band in high school. I don't think I could find C on a trombone right now. If we don't keep listening, we become dull of hearing. If we don't apply what we're hearing to our life so that we're manifesting the light of Christ, we become dull of hearing. You know, there's tons and tons of books that have been written about expository preaching, how to preach the word correctly, faithfully, so on. Someone just wrote, and I couldn't resist. In fact, I bought it, I read it, and that's kind of what inspired this. This is part of the ongoing series of Growing in the Lord. This is a different way of looking, if you hadn't figured it out, on obeying the Lord, but it's from a different perspective. Someone just wrote a book called Expository Listening. Expository preaching tells me how to do a better job. Expository listening is for you folks. And the fellow that wrote the foreword to that book said this: listening to a sermon, really listening, as in thinking, praying, following the argument, concentrating on the meaning and its application to your life. Now, that's hard work. Granted, you do a lot of hard work listening to me. Merely, that wasn't supposed to be funny. Merely hearing a sermon is easy. It only requires a properly functioning auditory system. But it's essentially a passive exercise. Actively listening to the preaching of God's word requires mental alertness, focused attention, and spiritually receptive heart. That's the kind of listening Solomon implored his own sons to do when he wrote, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek for her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." The writer goes on to say, that describes an exercise that's quite active, requiring energy and effort. And that's exactly what God would have us do each Sunday when we sit down in the pew for the purpose of engaging with Him. You know, the Bible makes it clear that preachers are responsible before God to faithfully and accurately proclaim all of God's truth from His Word. God tells Ezekiel, quote, "Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Tell them everything that I have said to you." Again, Paul told Timothy, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." And he said further, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." The Apostle Paul said, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness." How much Scripture is profitable? All of it. So how much should a faithful preacher teach? All of it. Not picking and choosing. That was apparently Paul's practice, because in his last meeting with the elders of the Ephesian church, he said, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." You know what's really amazing about that statement? He said, "I am innocent of the blood of all men, because I have proclaimed to you everything God has declared." Paul took preaching pretty seriously. If he didn't proclaim everything God had said, then people who out there hear him and they perish because they didn't hear the whole counsel of God, their blood was on him in God's eyes. That's a pretty awesome thing, to know that the blood of people is on the preacher's hands if he doesn't faithfully proclaim the whole counsel of God. Ken Ramey, the author of Expository Listening, writes, "The pulpit is the place designed by God to be the spark plug that ignites the gasoline of His Word in the lives of all who listen." I like that. I like it enough, I'm going to read it again. The pulpit is the place designed by God to be the spark plug that ignites the gasoline of His Word in the lives of all who listen. Amen. And as strongly as God exhorts preachers to study and prepare and faithfully proclaim all of His Word to the people, God gives far more instruction and exhortation and admonition and appeals to the people to listen. He gives far more appeal to the people to listen than He does to the preacher to prepare and preach faithfully. Isn't that amazing? Spurgeon said this, the Billy Graham of England in the middle 1800s, he said this, "We are told that men ought not to preach without preparation." Granted. But we add, "Men ought not to hear without preparation." Which do you think needs the most preparation, the sower or the ground? I would have the sower come with clean hands, but I would have the ground well plowed and harrowed and well turned over and the clods broken before the seed comes in. It seems to me that there is more preparation needed by the ground than by the sower, more by the hearer than by the preacher. And of course, Spurgeon's alluding to Jesus' parable of the sower and the soils, where the sower is the preacher, and he's broadcasting the seed of the Word of God, and it lands on four different kinds of soils, with four different levels of receptivity to the Word, representing people's hearts. And Spurgeon is catching at what Jesus said and what the whole Bible seems to say is that preparing the ground is far more important than the preparation for broadcasting the seed, because if the ground isn't prepared, the seed won't penetrate. And when you consider if it's far more important for you to prepare your hearts to listen than it is for me to prepare to preach, and when you consider how awesome and what a great responsibility, how important it is for a pastor, a preacher, a teacher to prepare his lesson, when you think how important that is, and yet the importance of preparation to hear is even greater, how much more important is it to prepare to hear? So check out your hearing. It's a matter of life and death. God will judge those who will not hear. The proverb says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." The Lord says through Isaiah, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live." Listen that you may live. The implication is if you don't listen, you won't live. And Jesus, in the story of the two people that built the two houses, one on the sand and one on the foundation, the one who didn't listen and didn't respond and didn't obey, met with destruction. Because of our sin, without Christ, we are spiritually dead and cannot hear or understand what God is saying in His Word. And that is why Jesus said to those who had not believed in Him, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my Word. He who is of God hears the word of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Check out your hearing. If you cannot hear the word of God, if it's confusing to you, if you cannot understand it, if it's boring to you, you aren't hearing it. If there's no desire or hunger to hear, to listen to the word of God, you are not hearing it. And if you cannot, will not hear the word of God, it most likely means you do not belong to Him. So listen, and the first place to listen is to the gospel. And the simplest gospel of all is Jesus said, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And it's not just believing in your head, because the demons believe. It's believing and receiving Jesus. John 1:12 says, "As many as receive Him by faith, To them he gives the right to become children of God. Jesus said, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. When you hear with hearing, you will come to Christ as Savior. But if people refuse to hear long enough, then part of God's judgment is to close up the ears permanently so they cannot hear. Did you know that when Jesus spoke in parables, it was in part a judgment upon those who refused to hear? Do you know he never spoke in parables till part into his ministry? And the first time he spoke a parable, it was about the sower and the soils. And when he got done with the parable, his disciples said, what are you doing? Why are you speaking to them in parables? We don't get it. How? And he said, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear. And it was a form of judgment. Matthew 13, you read it yourselves. But he said, but for you it's been granted to understand the things of the kingdom. So he explained it to them. Jesus spoke in parables as a judgment, not just to give us wonderful stories. Because they refused to listen to him, so he started speaking in parables. So only those that were willing to hear, wanted to hear, were willing to pray to God to give us ears to hear, would understand. And for those of us who have received Christ and know him as our Savior, we need to guard against becoming dull of hearing and work to improve our hearing. And that the fact that we can become careless or dull of hearing, even as believers, is evident by just listen, the following two scriptures that are written to Christian churches, one to the Hebrews, not churches, but Hebrew Christians scattered about, and then from the book of James. In Hebrews, it says, concerning him, and it's about the context, it's about Melchizedek, but concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. Why? Because Melchizedek's difficult to understand? Well, yeah, but that's not why the writer says. He says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And as we read earlier, James says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away and immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I know a little bit about how difficult it is to listen, like we're talking about. Whether you're by yourself reading the scriptures and it's getting hard to keep your eyes focused, or whether you're sitting in the pews and listening to me and it's hard to keep your eyes focused. Before, as church goes, this is unbelievable. This is confession time, okay? But I'm just telling you how I can understand. This morning, I've been preparing much of this week for this message. It's on my heart. It's on my mind. I've been praying. I want to deliver this. I want you to get it. I want you to grow and rejoice in your relationship with the Lord and continue to grow in him. And I want to deliver this message. And I'm sitting there with my lovely wife, and we're being led in worship, and we should be listening to what God is saying to us through the hymns as well. And you know what I'm doing? Well, let's see. I just thought of something here. Let's see. That verse, you know. And oh yeah, I thought of something else, and I better not forget this, and I better be sure to pray for that. And I got halfway through, and I thought, what are you preaching on, Jim? I'm not listening. And we all do it, don't we? You know, we sit there, and it's so easy to let the devil distract us with anything and everything. But what God is trying to say, what I'm struggling to let him say through me. It's tough. I sympathize. But it's a prayerful, spiritual battle and effort. So what can we do to keep from becoming dull of hearing and improve our spiritual hearing? I want to give you one thing quickly right now, and then we're going to continue with answering that question next week. What can we do to improve our hearing? But first of all, just recognize that it's our responsibility to listen to God with the intent of obeying. Isaiah writes, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Again, this is not a wonderful motivational speaker. This is a popular preacher, and this is not Billy Graham. This is not your favorite speaker, whatever it might be. This is God. Listen, O heavens and earth, for the Lord is speaking. Nobody more important to listen to. Then listen to what Amos said. This is really interesting. Amos said, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? Before I read the rest of it, you've got to put yourself back in the days of old Israel. They didn't have paved multi-lane highways that you sped down at 60 miles an hour in your Hummers and SUVs and trucks. You walked from village to village. Maybe you had a donkey. Maybe you had a little cart to pull for your donkey to pull. But you were exposed on a dirt, dusty road out in the elements, and there were still lions around. Real lions in Canaan. And Amos says, if a lion roars, who won't be afraid? If you're on vacation or you're going to Trader Joe's or to the market with your family, and all of you walking down the road and you're 5 miles from home and 5 miles from the next village and you hear a lion roar, you're going to be afraid. And you don't have a 45 Magnum or semi-automatic rifle. You got nothing. You're afraid. So the people Amos is writing to knew what he meant. If a lion roars, who will not fear? If a lion roars, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? If people are afraid when a lion roars, how much more when God speaks should the prophet proclaim what he says? And if a prophet has to proclaim what God says, how much more should we listen? It's God who is speaking. We should be as the young man Samuel, just learning about temple life and ministry, and God kept trying to speak to him, and he finally figured out it wasn't Eli, the priest, it was God. And God spoke to him again, and Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That should be our heart. We are responsible to listen to God. There's blessing for those who do, and destruction for those who don't. Have you heard the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ? Have you listened? God says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they will be like wool. Come, let us reason together. You can't reason with somebody if you aren't listening to what they have to say. God is saying, come and listen to me. I love you. I gave my son for you. Yes, you're sinners, but Jesus, my son, died to pay the penalty for your sins. I love you that much. If you will just receive him by faith, I will forgive you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Have you listened? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? And for those of you that have, all of us, you, me, all of us, we've heard a lot more than we're obeying. We know a lot more than we're doing. We need to slow down and let our listening catch up to what God is saying. We know a lot more of what God has said than what we're doing. What does God want us to start hearing? What does he want you to start hearing? To trust him? Spend time with him in the Word. Don't forsake your coming together with other believers in worship and hearing the Word preached. Serve him. Witness to your neighbor. He may be saying a lot of things. He is saying a lot of things to each of us, different things to each of us. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Word of Christ speak to you. And listen. And respond to him. And this church will come alive. The glory of the Lord will be in his church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace.